Take your Bibles and let's finish the sermon that I started 2 weeks ago on seeking first the kingdom of God in your family. This is part two. In part one, we dealt with the husband and wife. And it's in your notes there, just the filled out blanks. And we talked about, as the scripture starts there in Colossians 3, I'll read it in a moment, beginning at verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 talks about the wife being a godly wife, submitting to the leadership of her husband, respecting her husband, and loving her husband. And by the way, if you want to hear that sermon, all of our sermons are free. You can go online and go to where the media is and listen to any sermon. But why don't you go back? If you didn't get to hear that 2 weeks ago, I really encourage you to do that so that you'll be up to date with what we're talking about. And then to be a godly husband, the husband needs to love his wife. We talked about being sweet with sweetness and selflessness and service. And then leading the wife, studying the wife, being gentle to the wife, honoring the wife, both of you need to leave your parents. And that's not necessarily just geographic, but it's talking about, now listen, this is the best way to put it. This is what leave means. Transferring your primary loyalties away from your parents to your spouse. When you get married, what your spouse thinks to you is more important to you than what your parents think from then on. Now, it's not that you don't honor your parents, but you don't have to obey them anymore. Once you get married, there's a new family. You have to leave. And again, you don't have to move away. You can be 1,000 miles away and not leave. You can be next door and you can leave. So, okay? So I just want to encourage you, leave. And then what do? You cleave. You come together. You make a new family and you become as one. And let me just say something to every man in this room. And I don't know how to say it any more plainly than I can. Do everything you can to protect yourself morally. Do not be with another woman at lunch or in a room with somebody behind a closed doors. You say, well, I have to. No, you don't. You can open the door. And to be frank with you, you should be wiser, and it would be the best part of wisdom for you just not to be with another. Your wife should have all access to every text that you send, every email that you send. You should never, ever put any flirtatious messaging in any kind of text message, anything that could in any way be misconstrued or be starting something that would be inappropriate. Run from that stuff. The Bible does not say fight immorality. The Bible says flee from immorality. Now, if you don't understand that, put it in B for boogie and get out of there, all right? I just read Joseph the other day, and he left. And far better to do that than to mess up your marriage, okay? So, guys, no pornography. What is pornography? It's a word that defines itself. Two Greek words, pornos, sexual immorality, graphe, publish. All right. So don't tell me. I had a district attorney tell me one time, you can't even define it. And I'm glad the word defines itself. Pornos, sexual immorality, graphe, published. You don't look at that stuff. You don't feed on garbage, and don't tell anybody. This is the only time I'm going to get in your face today, all right? But I'm telling you, guys, you don't need to look at that. Don't tell me it doesn't hurt everybody. You might as well take a spiritual sewage hose and just spray your whole house with it, because you are letting demonic activity come into your family when you look at pornography. It will not help. It will hurt. It is demonic. It will destroy intimacy between your wife. It will get on your kids. And I'm telling you, you don't need to do it. And parents, you have every right to check your children's computers, their iPads, their cell phones at all times. They are not their stuff anyway. I doubt those kids bought their cell phone, all right? And I just want to encourage you, do whatever you have to do, parents, to keep your kids, especially your young boys, out of pornography, all right? Now, I know that you say, What about the sermon? Well, all of that's wrapped up in it. Let's look at our text, Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. I became a pastor when I was 25. I had one child, Grant. The minute I became a pastor, he was 1 month old. So when it came to being a parent, I was an expert. After all, I'd been a parent for a whole month. So I had a sermon, boy, on commandments for parenting. And then Grant became a toddler and Lindsay came along. I changed it to principles from commandments for parenting to principles for parenting. And then they got into elementary school. I changed it to suggestions for parenting. Then they got in middle school. I changed it to helpful hints for parenting. Then they became teenagers and I said, parents, do the best you can, all right? Can I get a witness out there? Anybody out there? Look at me. There are no perfect families. There are no perfect marriages. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect child. None. I don't have a perfect marriage. You don't have a perfect marriage. I don't have a perfect family. You don't have a perfect family. And I know some of you are mad because you say, my grandkids. No, they're not. They have a sinful nature just like you and me. So we don't, there is, if you're feeling like, oh no, here, I'm going to feel beat up. Don't feel beat up. We're all working at this. This is, family is a sanctification tool that causes us to have in these relationships that are sometimes very tough and it's hard and it's just, you're constantly having to say, Lord Jesus, help me. Can I get, y'all are making me scared here a little bit, all right? Did y'all forget to say amen in 2 weeks? What's going on here? It's hard. But God will help you. He'll help you. Now, you're not going to hear anything that I'm talking about from Oprah or Dr. Phil or Hollywood. They don't believe in this stuff. And look how good it's working out for them. God knows His business. And when it comes to family, you need to look at the Bible, not secular psychology, not Hollywood. No, the Word of God. So let's talk about, we're just going right through the Scripture. The third verse there we're talking about, verse 20, talks about children. So if you want to seek first the kingdom of God, in your family, be a godly child. Look at verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. How do you do that? How do you be a godly child? Well, it says, obey your parents. That focuses on actions. Obedience, obeying your parents focuses on actions. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Be obedient means to hearken, to heed, to obey in all things. That's the hard part for the child. It's not suggesting occasional obedience. It's telling you to continually obey. Now, the father and the mother, it's upon us to be responsible parents, not give unjust demands to the child. But the child is to obey the parents in all things. One of the primary reasons that there is such a disdain against authority and there is such a wave of lawlessness in the United States is because children have not been taught to obey the authority of their parents. Nowhere does modern civilization show more weakness than right here. The Bible says in a parallel text in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Does anybody remember right and wrong? This is right. Children, this may sound a little strong, but hear me today. I love you, but if you're living in your home, at home with your parents, if you're eating their food, driving their cars, sleeping in their beds, breathing their air that they paid for with the air conditioning unit, you are obligated to obey them. You have no right to rebel against them, even if you're older, say college age, or even above. You are to please God by obeying them. If you're not married, you're supposed to obey your parents with a good attitude. If you do, The Bible says God will bless you. If you don't, I'm telling you, God is going to punish you. Obedience has to be learned. It's not natural. We don't like it. We have a heart prone toward rebellion against God-ordained authority. All of us do. There's no hymn we used to sing, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We just have that desire to wander off and to do our own thing. Parents, we must see ourselves as loving teachers. And children, you must see yourself as loving learners. The older I got, the smarter my parents became. That was my fault for not listening to them when I was younger. Learning obedience is simply learning to live by God's rules. That's all it is. Learning to live by God's rules. And there are three ways I encourage you to obey your parents, children. Immediately, entirely, and respectfully. Son, take out the garbage. Okay, half an hour later, the garbage has not moved. That's not immediately. When your parents tell you to do something, it's not, I'll do that when I get around. I'll put that on my to-do list. No, that becomes your to-do list, and you better do it because you're supposed to obey immediately. And you're supposed to do everything. Don't just take, if there's two cans, don't just take one, take them both. And don't just do it with a scowl on your face. Sing the hallelujah chorus all the way down the curb and back, all right? Sing the little Barney song. Remember that Barney, you know, the smiley song all the time? Do something. But obey your parents. And then honor your parents. That focuses on attitude. Obedience focuses on actions, but honoring focuses on attitude. Honor your parents. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, honor your father and mother. That's straight out of the Ten Commandments, by the way, which is the first commandment with a promise. Here's the promise. So that it may be well with you. If you don't honor your parents, it's not going to be well with you as far as God's concerned. And that you may live a long life on earth. How many of you want to live a long life on earth? Anybody out there? One of the great ways to start. You say, I'll go to the gym. You go to the gym all you want to. If you don't honor your parents, God's not going to really let you live much of a life. I'm just telling you, God's word is right there. Honor your parents. First promise going to have there is that you're going to live a long life. Proverbs 30 verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be plucked out, picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. You say, what in the world is I? The eye that mocks their parents. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Put that screen on this face that is made for radio ministry. All right, here we go. Look. Anybody ever seen that little face out there? You don't want your eyes plucked out by a raven, do you, all right? So cut it out. I'm just quoting the scripture here, all right? Parents, it's easier for your children to honor you when you are sincerely seeking to live for Jesus. Love your children. Live in a way that they should honor you and respect you. And don't, parent, you can't rebel against God-ordained authority and expect your children to submit to your authority. So you be a good role model. A child can honor his or her parents even after they are on their own. Even after you're married, you're supposed to honor them. You can visit them, call them on the phone, have them in your home for a meal, send them a card, a gift. You can take care of their grave. I drove up to Dyersburg yesterday, just went to my parents' grave. And I have people ask, why do you do that? I want to ask you, why would I not? Why would I not put new flowers on my parents' grave? Why would I not go there and thank the Lord for them? I went by my house. There were six guys playing basketball in the driveway that my dad poured in concrete, and my name's written over there. That's the house that built me. Ever heard that song? And I stopped and said, hey, I used to play ball there 50 years ago. They were like, I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm not going to hurt you. My name's over there, right over there. They went and looked at it. What is that? I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm far from it. But I want to tell you something. I love my mom and dad. And I'm going to honor, you can honor them after they're dead. Don't talk about all the trashy things or whatever. Don't talk about the bad. Just zip that. You want to talk about your own faults, not somebody else's. Especially if they can't defend themselves. Talk about the good things. And if you can't say anything good, you know what's coming. Don't say anything. Now there's an idea that would really help us out nowadays. Be a godly child, obey and honor your parents. Number four, be a godly parent. Look at verse 21. Fathers, talking about parents here, don't exasperate. You say, what is that? Don't exasperate. I'll get to it in a minute. Your children, so that they will not lose heart. Being a godly parent means that you encourage your children. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, don't exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Don't exasperate. It's translated positively elsewhere in Scripture, like in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 2, to stimulate. You should stimulate and encourage and stimulate your children. If you want to know what exasperates, it means don't habitually nag them. Don't. Do you like that? No. Nobody likes to be nagged all the time. Don't. And you do that so that they won't lose heart, so that they won't be discouraged and dispirited. How many of you know that school can be discouraging, life can be discouraging, home needs to be a safe place for those kids? And look, if you're in a situation where you've got tension in your home, then look, I started out telling you there is no perfect home. But look, you do everything you can to encourage those kiddos, okay? You do it. So when they come home, they want to come home. Josh McDowell says, rules without relationships equals rebellion. Parents, your goal is not to pick a fight with your child. You're not to be a tyrant. You're not to intimidate. But you are to bathe them in love. Sometimes it has to be tough love, like James Dobson talks about. When your love for your children is so much that you will not allow them to be rebellious and sinful in their behavior, but through it all, even in the tough times, and we all have tough times. How many of you have had tough times in your family? Anybody out there? I've got my hands up. We've had tough times in our family. And, sometimes people look at our kiddos and they say, wow, and I say, hey, it ain't over, and it ain't always been like it is right now. It's tough. It's hard. It is difficult. It is not easy, and there's stuff that happens that nobody else knows, and they don't have to know, but it's between you and the Lord. But don't have this mentality, if it can't be totally perfect, it's not worth trying. No, love is the lubricant that helps the family run smoothly. And then teach your children. Be a godly parent by teaching your children. How do I teach them? Well, one way to teach your child is through loving discipline. Loving discipline. Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who withholds the rod hates his son. I hear people say all the time, well, we don't spank our children because we love them. Well, the Bible says if you don't spank them, you hate them. I don't like that. I didn't write it. Let's put it back on the screen real quick. Read it out loud with me so that you'll know I'm not playing tricks on you. This is Proverbs 13, 24. Everybody in the building, here we go. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Now, what about that is so hard to understand? It's not. But, no buts. It's the Word of God. That trumps any psychologist, any medical doctor, any book you've read. That is the Word of God. If you withhold the rod, you hate your children. There was one amen. If you withhold the rod, you hate your children.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 19, 18, discipline your son while there is hope. I think that says while there's time. Don't desire his death. If you don't discipline them, you are letting them grow up to live in a world that will discipline them. Nobody's going to cut them the kind of slack that you do at work or anywhere. Your kids, if you don't discipline them, they're going to be rebellious and they're going to get fired and they're not going to live good lives. I'm just telling you. You're setting them up for failure when you don't teach them through loving discipline. Let me give you 7 guidelines for disciplining children. Discipline lovingly. Don't ever do it with a harsh tone. Don't be mean. Stay calm. Discipline instructively. Let the child know what they did wrong and why they're being punished. Discipline them consistently. Don't bend the rule. Even if you're tired and don't feel like it, you've been working all day, consistency is crucial. Discipline them quickly. By that, I mean it doesn't need to be 2 weeks after. So, you know, that'd be bad, wouldn't it, if God treat us that way? You know, we did something 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden God comes, hey, what? What's that about? You don't do that with a child. You let them know then and there, hey, this is wrong. Take them aside. Now, if you're in the grocery store, I get it. You just say, hey, Hoss, when we get home, there's going to be a come to Jesus meeting, all right? And so, you know, do it. But don't wait 2 days. Do it quickly. Do it calmly. Again, no need for yelling, screaming. Do it firmly. Don't relent despite their excuses. How many of you know that children have major excuses? Children become real creative when they're trying to beg their way out of discipline, all right? Don't give in. And do it appropriately. Don't belittle the child. Don't damage the child emotionally or physically. And sometimes discipline should involve spanking. I'll give you a couple more verses on spanking. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Then what? Oh, I thought it was time out. I thought it was bad boy. No, it's the rod of discipline will remove it far from it. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What is that? Sinful nature. Oh, not my children. Oh, yeah. And you too. And your spouse. And their future spouse. And all of us have the seed of sin in us from Adam. It's why if you don't get saved, you go to hell. It is just so horrible to God that he sends people to hell over that sin. And it's in there. And what is it? Selfishness. I will do what I want to do. You tell me not to do it, I'm going to do it. Little bitty children are like that. Don't touch that. Look right at you in the face, eyeball to eyeball, and touch it. Then you got to touch them. Direct pressure in the zone rapidly with a smile on your face saying, I love you. I'm telling you, you got to do it. Proverbs 23, 13, and 14, don't fail to correct your children. They won't die if you spank them. I love that. They won't die if you spank them. Oh, you're killing me. No, I'm not. I'm keeping you from getting killed later on. I'm not the one that's going to kill you. But if you keep acting like this, one of these days you're going to do something and you can get killed. You got to respect authority. Physical discipline may well save them from death. Ephesians 6, 4, fathers, bring your children up in the discipline of the Lord. Now, I don't know about your house, but I think the father ought to be the lead, not the only, but the lead disciplinarian in the family. I believe that. I'm not mad about it. I'm not saying women shouldn't do it. I'm not saying that. But I think, dads, you're the man. Lovingly lead. And don't put all that off on your wife. Parents, teach your children through loving discipline, then through biblical instruction. Deuteronomy 6. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Teach them diligently to your sons. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. By the way, this assumes that you are going to be at home some, and you're going to talk some, and not just be constantly working while you're on the phone and in the computers. Talk with them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them on your sign, as a sign on your hand, frontals on your forehead. Why the hand? The hand represents what you do. The head represents what you think. The forehead, that's why you see Jewish people with phylacteries, scripture memory cards on their forehead and on their hand. We've just seen that hundreds of times in Israel. You will write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. We took that literally, and we literally have a scripture, at least one plaque of scripture in every room. We've always had this in every room of our house. There's scripture all over our house because our kids walking through there, we wanted them to see the Word of God. Everywhere is the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, everywhere, everywhere. Put it in your house. Put it all around. Bathe your kids in it. Ephesians 6:4. Bring your children up, fathers, in the instruction of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord. It means to put it into their mind, to make deposits in their mind, and later on they will be able to make good withdrawals. And then do it through biblical instruction. Don't just instruct them, but train your child. Train your child. Be a godly parent by training your child. Teaching and training. Those are the two paddles that row the boat of parenting, if you will. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. How do you do that? Through constant example. They're watching you. I want to say something. They're going to drive like you drive. They're going to eat like you eat. They're going to talk like you talk, think like you think, act like you act. Amen? Oh, be careful what you do, think, say. You're going to, they're looking at you and they're going to mirror what you do. And then train up your child through practical demonstration. Take the time to teach your kids how to do things. Don't just say, I'll do it, get out of the way. I saw the yard yesterday where my daddy taught me how to mow with a mower. You know how he did it, Drew? Big old hands, a little bitty kid. He got me that Sears and Roebuck mower, green and red mower. And he said, all right, you put your hands right here. I had my hands here. He had his big old hands right here. And I walked right. And I could see him yesterday. I could see me and Dad walking up and down the road. Now, I didn't know he was setting me up. He made me get about 15 yards to mow later on, all right? But he taught me. He taught me how to fish. He taught me how to drive. He taught me by showing me how. He taught me how, you don't even know what I'm talking about, son. He taught me how to chop cotton. He taught me how to drive a tractor. He taught me how to haul hay. He taught me how to work. My mother taught me how to clean, how to do dishes, how to clean in a factory, how to strip floors, how to wax floors. If I ever get out of the preaching business, I got several options. All right? I can mow yards and strip floors. And you know what? If you do that, when I go into a building, every time I see a custodian or janitor, I speak to every one of them. You know why? Because I've been them. I have been the janitor. I know what it's like. I'm not trying to show off. I'm just trying to say, there is nothing wrong with good, clean work. Nothing wrong with that. Teach your kids how to work. All right. I'm out of time.
Steve Farrar wrote a great book called Point Man. He talks about a man named George McCluskey. You don't know who George McCluskey is? No biography is written about him. Here's what Farrar says. Just listen to this, please listen. George McCluskey was a man who decided to make an investment. He married, started a family, decided to invest 1 hour a day in prayer, concerned that his kids might follow Christ, establish their own homes where Christ would be honored. After a time, he decided to expand his prayers to include not only his children, but their children and the children after them. Every day from 11 till noon, every day, he prayed for the next three generations. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Don't be preparing to leave. Listen. Every day between 11 and 12 noon, he prayed for three generations. As the years went by, his two daughters committed their lives to Christ. They married men who went into the full-time ministry. These two couples produced four girls and one boy. Each of the girls married a minister, and the boy became a pastor. The first two children born to this generation were both boys. Upon graduation from high school, I'm reading from his book, the two cousins chose the same college and became roommates. During their sophomore year, one of the boys decided to go in the ministry as well. The other did not. He knew the family history, undoubtedly felt pressure to continue the family legacy, but he chose not to. In a manner of speaking, this young man became the black sheep of the family. He was the first one in four generations not to go in full-time Christian ministry. He decided to pursue his interest in psychology and over the years met with success. After earning a doctorate, he wrote a book to parents that became a bestseller. He then wrote another and another, all bestsellers. Eventually, he started a radio program, a ministry, now heard on more than 1,000 stations each day. The black sheep's name was James Dobson. The most influential, significant leader of the pro-family movement in America. But it all started with one praying man. Let's all stand up, and this is not time to leave. This is as serious as we can be. If you are beside your spouse, if you're not, don't, I'm not picking on you. Look, don't worry about it. But if you are beside your spouse, join their hand. Children, if you're by your parents, come in close with mom and dad. If you're single, pray. If you are here today without your spouse or your family, I just want you to pray. And we're going to work through Colossians 3, 18 through 21 very quickly. It is 10:25. We've got about 1 minute for each prayer. But we're going to pray. And we're going to do it exactly in the order that God gave it to us here, okay? So, the first one is ladies. Ladies, let's bow our heads, all of us. Everybody bow your heads. I want you to ask God whether your husband loves Jesus or not. I'm going to ask you to say, oh God, this goes against my flesh, but I want to be a godly wife. All you ladies, husbands, you keep your heads bowed. All you ladies, look at me. You don't have to answer at the judgment seat to your husband, but you do have to answer to God. And you want to be able to answer well, okay? Now just bow and pray. I'm just ask you to pray the word. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. Pray that God will help you to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Unto the Lord is the big deal there. Do it with the help of Jesus. Ask God to restore, maybe need be, a respect for your husband, because the Bible says you need to respect him. Guys need that. Oh, they need that. And ladies, ask God, as it says in the New Testament, to help you love your husband. Submit to him, respect him, and love him. And some of you right now, just confess, if you say, you know, I've had a bad attitude at this. Tell the Lord and ask him to forgive you right now. Just ask him to forgive you. This is a house of mercy. Amen? This is a house of forgiveness, a house of grace. Ask him to help you. Now, guys, while they're praying, you do some praying too. Husbands, ask God to help you be a godly husband. Ask God to help you love your wife with sweetness. Oh, that's not easy. With selflessness, that's hard. And with service. Ask God to help you lead your wife, lead her in righteous ways. And remember in 1 Peter 3:7, study your wife. Live with her according to knowledge. That means study your wife. Find out what her love language is. Start speaking that language. And then be gentle. Say, oh God, let me be gentle with my wife. Honor your wife. One of these days you may not have her. She may go to heaven before you. Honor her. And all of us that are married, we have to leave our parents. If you are more concerned about what you're, if you're married and you're more concerned about what your parents think than your spouse thinks, ask God to forgive you, repent of it, and stop it. Stop it. And then cleave to your spouse. Dr. Rogers had a sermon called Superglue Marriage, and it was about cleaving after you leave. Leave and cleave. Leave and cleave, or you will grieve. And guys, let me just look at me, every one of you, every one of you. This is man time, all right? If you're looking at anything you shouldn't be looking at, or involved in anything you shouldn't be involved in, stop it. In the name of Jesus, stop it. Amen? Amen. Keep praying. Keep praying, guys. Now, you children out there, while your moms and dads are praying, you need to pray that God will help you be a godly child. Here it is now. Just say, God, help me to obey my parents. Help my actions to be right. Help me to obey them immediately. Don't let me be delaying. Let me do it immediately. Let me do it entirely. Let me do a good job. And then, Lord, let me do it respectfully, because I know when I respect your authority, you will bless me. Help me to obey my parents. And then, Lord, help me to honor my parents. Call them. Help them. Don't ignore them. Don't just throw them in the corner and say, well, I don't have time for them. I got a job. I got this. And you know what? You've got time to pick up the phone and call your parents. Some of you guys, maybe you need to do a better job at that. Call your mother. Yeah, I just want to say this. I'd give anything. I'd give just about anything if I could just pick up the phone and call my dad and mom. I drive 100 miles to go see their graves. I'm not trying to say I'm the guy, okay? I'm just trying to say I miss them. And you've got living parents and you don't even call them? Come on, guys. Let's get with the program. Love them while you can. Honor them, even if they're gone. And then all you parents out there, man, it's tough. It is hard to raise kids. Encourage them, teach them through discipline and instruction, and train them. Train them, encourage them, teach them. You train them through example and demonstration. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, this holy hush is indicative of the fact that the Holy Ghost is working in our midst. I have confessed before them that I do not have it all together. I don't have a perfect family, and none of us do. But we want to thank you that we have a perfect Heavenly Father. And you are good, and you will meet them right where they are at the point of their need. I know, Lord, I know that some of them came here today having fussed on the way up here or all weekend maybe. I pray that they would humble themselves and go back and apologize and say, let's get with the program and let's do it God's way. I pray that they will not listen to secular sources, but that they will listen to Scripture, the Word of God, and do it right. Lord, there's a right and a wrong in all this, and the Word of God is right, always right. I don't care what culture says. I don't care what government says. I don't care what the laws say. Your Word is right. So help us, Lord. And may we do everything that we do, do it in love for the glory of Jesus. God bless our families. Oh God, I speak against pornography in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit, leave these families in Jesus' name. I speak against any spirit of division. Leave these families in Jesus' name, especially the married folks. I come against a spirit of division. Any teenager, Lord, we just ask you to bind every demonic spirit that would attack a parent and a teenager together. That, Lord, is driving a wedge between them. Oh, God, bring that child back to that parent. Turn the parents' hearts, like Malachi said, the fathers' hearts to the children and the children to the fathers. God, help us. We need help. God, families are being destroyed. Oh, God, help us, we pray. Help us, dear God. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Tell him right now. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come. Let me tell you what the Lord's speaking in my spirit right now. Don't you dare leave this place feeling beat up today. Don't you dare. If you've got a child that's rebelled, don't you say, well, I'm a failure. That's a lie. You're not a failure. That is a lie. And you know what? As far as I know, life's not over with. We still got a chance. God can redeem and restore everything that every demonic locust has eaten in your family. Amen? He can restore your marriage. He can restore your children. He can restore that intimacy between you and your spouse that is gone. He can restore your purity. He can restore everything that the devil has tried to steal from you. The Lord Jesus Christ can restore it. He can restore it. Let the past be just that. Let it be gone. And let this be a new day. And don't you leave here feeling beat up. Don't you leave here feeling discouraged. May God fill you with the Holy Ghost of God and encourage you that through prayer and fasting and belief and faith and striving and love and forgiveness. Oh, there's a word. How about a lot more forgiveness in our families? How about just cutting some people some slack? God spoke to me recently as clear as a bell. The Lord said, don't just love her like Christ loved the church, but you love Donna the way you want me to love you. How do you want me to love you, Steve? A lot. Then get after it. How do you want me to love you? Lord, I want you to forgive all my sins. Then don't look at her faults. Don't focus on faults. When you get in that mode, just start saying, okay, here's what I like about her. All these things. Focus on that. Focus on your faults, not your spouse's faults. And then focus on Jesus. Hey, when it's right at home, it's awesome. When it ain't right at home, it's bad. How many of you know it's bad when it ain't right? Amen? But when it's good, it's good. And how many of you know that we can just start over? Wherever you are, start over.